1, 2, 3. Hi, this is Jess Fishlock, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase.
Now, you might think that is the most thorough and comprehensive intro that a guest might actually make, but wait until you hear future episodes, including the wonderful Heather Reed. Before we get to our show, let's ponder aloud a minute how many podcasts there are that focus on women's football, also known as soccer, players, teams, and organizations. I'm going to guess 25. Well, one of those would be Cheeky Backheel. If you want to learn more about Seattle Reign, NWSL, hear Kim Little, Laura Harvey speak about women's football, check them out. You can find them on Twitter at cheeky-backheel, or you can find them on their own beautiful website that includes their podcast, cheeky_backheel.com. And now, on with our show. I hear Jess Fishlock is a shoddy. 5'2", something like that. I won't believe it till I see it because she plays like a giant, lighting up the midfield for the last season and a half of the NWSL for the Seattle Reign. She also captains the Wales women's national team. If you've never heard a pro player speak plainly before, buckle up. Last year, Charlie Flo over at worldsportsshow.com invited me to be a part of this little NWSL predictions pool.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I picked Seattle Reign to win every game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well.
No, probably wasn't the best year to do that, to be honest.
This year, you're winning everything in sight. You haven't lost a game. But last year, what was last year like?
It was tough. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, it was just so nice to be here and all that stuff, because that's not really who I am. You know, we're playing in an elite level sport and, you know, you lose 9 games on the bounce and, you know, that's never nice to be anywhere when that is going on, you know? So yeah, it was really difficult. It was a difficult period. It was a very testing period, especially mentally, you know? But we did have a good group. We had a great group. And so we were able to get each other through it, really. And we had a bigger picture. We always did have a bigger picture. You know, it was difficult for us from the very beginning, starting off with a whole new kind of franchise and trying to build that without having your American players, and the confusion that was with the Sounders surrounding that situation. It was just a very unfortunate time for Seattle and for the owners, really, to try and then build something on that, you know? And the league is a difficult league, and it made it tough for us to do it on the field as well as off the field. So, yeah, it was a very testing period, and probably one of the most difficult ones I've ever had in my career. I'm better, and we are better for that.
Sticking with last year, I would say you were the face of the franchise for a lot of fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were wreaking havoc on the field. No matter what the score was, we knew what to expect from you. And we were never disappointed. And that made you the face of the franchise. Case in point, mm-hmm. preseason of this year, Seattle Reign put out this really nice video, mini documentary, I don't know what they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And it featured a lot of players. What made it for me, and I think a lot of fans, was that moment when the interviewer asked you about your brother and you kind of pointed to your face.
Yeah.
That being the key moment of that mini doc just kind of reinforced that we all thought, not that you ever made it about you, but you were easily the face of the franchise. Did you feel that you were kind of the brand at the time last year, or the cornerstone of the brand last year? Did you feel like you were the key piece and holding the banner and all that kind of stuff?
No, I didn't at all. It was definitely a feeling of grinding it out together, you know? And we were all doing our bit to try and create this brand and this franchise that was going to be a difficult thing to build at that time without our Americans. And so I didn't know at the time, you know? I mean, America was a huge step for me, and when I was in the middle of it, it was sometimes a bit crazy, a little bit overwhelming, a little bit sometimes I was just like, is this even real life? Like, I don't get it, you know? It was sometimes it was that. So I wouldn't say that I knew that, or was I aware of that? Probably not, you know, because at the end of the day, we weren't doing so well on the field, and that was all that was ever in any of our minds at the time. Did we know that we managed to build fans from all over the world? Yeah, because, you know, there was so much going on Twitter and so much going on Facebook and so much social media that was making us aware of that, which obviously for us was nice, because we knew that if we want to build what we want to build here at the Reign, then that's important. Our fan base is arguably the most important thing that there is, and that's not just in America, it's worldwide. I think that was a huge plus for us for last season. Like huge from the franchise's point of view, and from the fan base of who we are and how we were to grow. Because we were moving forward, we always knew that we were going to get our Americans back, and we were going to add to that, which automatically brings in thousands of fans. So that was probably more important for us than thinking of that, seeing that scenario.
There's something about the way you play that's unique. I mean, it's the way you are out there.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten used to it, but what really drives it? What's at the center of your personal style of play and the way you are out there? Is it because you're a fishlock, or something about being a fishlock, or something about being Welsh, or something about the scenario? You know, you're in the United States, and this is a chance to really, you know, it's a bigger platform than in a lot of other places where you could be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe that's a misconception. What makes you play the way you play?
It's a great question. I actually think a lot of it comes from how I was brought up, my mum and my dad, and I guess our family values of who you are as a person and how you get where you want to get to, and then how you act and behave in that situation. And for me, you know, all I ever wanted to do was get to the top of the top of women's football. You know, that was all I ever wanted to do when I was a kid. And, you know, there must have been so many times when my family were just like, you're crazy, it ain't never going to happen. You know, women's football, it's just not a career, you know. And, you know, they were probably right at the time. But that's just our family, you know. And we're just told that if you want something, you know, you fight for it and you give everything always, because you'll never know how long it'll last. But the most important thing is, you know, you'll be happy as well. And I'm lucky that I have something that makes me want to work hard, you know, push myself to the limits, makes me want to get to the top, but gives me the ultimate fulfillment of enjoyment. And that's exactly what football does for me. You know, it's not just good enough for me to just go out there and half-heartedly pass a ball around and be there for the sake of being there and being lucky that I'm there. You know, that is a mindset. I am obviously extremely humble and extremely lucky to be in the situation that I'm in, but I don't like to lose. Like, it is just as simple as that. And although I am lucky to be here, I will work as hard as I possibly can to ensure that I stay here. And I win on top of that. Well, elite athletes, and in elite athletes' minds, you have to want to win. It has to be the number one thing, because that's what drives you. And you know, that's what it is for me, and that always has been, and growing up, and it does primarily probably come from my mother. She's one in a kind, and always, you know, that was driven into us when we were growing up. We enjoy it, we have fun, but we work 100% at whatever we do. You know, it's paid off, and for me, there is no less, really. It doesn't work like that. I enjoy it. I enjoy my free time when I get free time, but when I'm working. That's just the way it is.
So let's switch gears a little bit. Last year is over. You were the brightest star in the sky in Seattle. No offense to anybody. Everybody's great, but during the off season, Laura Harvey went and brought in an amazing group of players. I mean Bev and Homie and Sid, and I swear at some point, more than once in every game, I just tweet Kim Little. Kim Little. Dot. Period. I mean, she's really amazing to watch. And now it's more like you're in a constellation. It's a group of stars that all kind of make sense together. And you know, there's a picture there. That's not a knock, honestly. It's not a knock on anyone else. But hey, you were undefeated in 13 games and robbed of two penalty kicks in the last game. I think I was quite vocal about that on Twitter.
No comments, but yes, anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely hauled down in the box two times. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Anyway, moving on. Do you feel like your role is different? Does your influence and the way you play or carry the team even, or not carry the team, or visible, less visible? I mean, how is it different for you as a player from last year?
It's just a lot easier because now we have world-class players. You know, we have a front line of world-class players. And so the job is easier. My job is easier. There is no denying that. That is not me being at all disrespectful to last season's and our squad. You know, it's not at all. It's just you have Kawasumi and you have Bev and you have Kim and you have Sid and you have Pino. You know, you just have these players that ooze sheer class. And so I think for all of us, you know, myself and Keelan, and even Coxie and Hope, for all of us that are behind them, it just comes to more realistic football, and your roles and your responsibilities come down to the level that they should be, rather than it being extreme responsibilities. You know, probably pushing your body to levels where they're probably just not healthy, really, I guess. My life is made a lot easier when I can get the ball and give it to Kim, or give it to Sumi, or give it to Pino, and link up from that point of view, you know? And so, yeah, you know, I don't think necessarily roles have changed or responsibility have changed. I don't think anyone feels that, because we still have our own roles and we still have our own responsibilities on and off the ball, you know, which are both extremely as important as the other. It's just that we can share all that now, and you know, we can demand more from each other because we've each got our own roles and responsibilities. And the beauty of our team is that it doesn't matter who you are, every single one pulls their weight on and off the ball. You know, there's not one of our players that shirk responsibility from working hard, closing down, defending, etc., etc. And that is the beauty of who we are and what we're about. And that's, like I said, it comes down from being drilled into you by, you know, having the right mentality from Laura and from who we are and from the rain. And so it doesn't change. It really, really doesn't. In our heads, you know, I don't think that I don't have to do as much now, because that's not my mentality ever. Same as it's not with Keelan. You know, we will work as hard, just as hard, if not harder if we can, than last year, because we want to win and we know that we can win. We just have extremely talented players now up top that help us a lot.
I don't know if this is bad to admit or not, but I didn't really know much about the Welsh team.
Ah, it's okay. I don't think anyone.
Before you started playing in America, and now that I do know the Welsh team, I actually know that you have a Women's World Cup qualifier against England at Cardiff on August 21st. And I mean, I think it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic game. And when you talk about roles and responsibilities, I mean, I grew up in Canada. So I almost see it the same in terms of you being highly featured, shall we say, as a member of the Welsh team. And we've had that for many years with Sinky, right? And sometimes it wasn't good on the field because it was almost like literally you could see other Canadian players just waiting for Sinky time, just waiting for Sinky to do something amazing and pull some rabbit out of the hat. And I consider myself a somewhat educated fan. And as an educated fan, it was a bit frustrating to watch. It was a bit frustrating to feel like other Canadian players could have done more. How do you feel about your role and responsibility with Wales, with women's football, the progress of it in Wales, relative to how you're seen and who you are and what you can do, what your limits are?
It's tough. It's tough because as a nation, we have never really fully invested in women's football. And so only over the last 2 years, maybe, you've seen a great rise in the work that has been done on and off the field from us. And the investment in here. And the frustrating thing for me is that we have a good group of girls. We really do. We just don't have enough behind that to help us really do what we need to do to be able to compete at the highest international level. You know, and I stand by the fact that the international game is a completely different game to a club game. It's almost a different game. And it's extremely tough for us to get together, and we don't get together half as much as most teams do, and that can be frustrating. But, you know, I love playing for my country. I love putting on the red. There is nothing quite like the feeling of doing that, and I will never stop, I don't think, until my legs can probably no longer walk. You know, and sometimes there is a lot of pressure. You know, sometimes everyone expects something magical to happen. But, you know, that's just it's not realistic, really. It's just not. And we do have good girls. We have a good group of players. And what I tend to do is to ensure that we all have a shared responsibility to make Wales successful. And if we are successful, it's not just because of me. And if we're not successful, it's not just because of me. And that's the way that we have always worked, really, even when Jane Ledler was involved. You know, I'm sure she had exactly the same. She was the first that we played at Arsenal, and she was a hugely successful women's footballer. And you could see that she, I think, at times felt that, and I can completely understand. But I don't feel we are in that place. I feel that we have a solid base of, you know, six experienced players, a core of players that we really do just share the responsibility, because we're such a young team. We are such a young team, and, you know, it's not fair to pile it all on one or two players. You will never be successful if that's what you do, ever. Football it's grown too much, too fast for that to be able to happen anymore. And the perfect example of that is how, you know, the people who win major tournaments and their teams that win it you see their team and how it's based around the team. They're the teams that win things. And you know, we very much have that mentality and that attitude. And you know, I don't ever try for it to be any different. I don't want it to be anything different, because I'm not going to be around forever. We need to make sure that the group continues to grow, because we have a good young team. And you know, I want nothing more than Wales to get to major tournaments, and I hope that we can someday.
I don't know how often you do this, how often you sit down and shoot the breeze with people who want to talk to you, but it's been amazing. It's been really, really fun, really, really good. And I've enjoyed it immensely now that I've stopped using the hashtag puke bucket. I haven't been as nervous as I was this afternoon to talk to you in a very, very long time, but you completely put me at ease, so thank you.
Don't worry about it, honestly.
Fans really like hearing what players are thinking. Maybe not that it's not good to ask, well, who's the prankster on the team? I mean, I'm never going to ask that question, but I mean, I suppose it's nice to sort of get to know at a certain level. And there's so many stories to be told that aren't getting out about the women's game. And man, I just feel like roll up my sleeves, get in there, do what I can. To tell stories, to share information and all that sort of stuff. So I really, really appreciate the time.
Absolutely, no problem.